I'm Mark Bayshore. Latinos are the second fastest growing ethnic group in the United States. Here in Michigan, most are from Mexico, but a sizable number come from across Central and South America. The steady influx of Latino immigrants to the U.S. creates a myriad of challenges for lawmakers, employers, and Latino families themselves. A new Michigan State University study looks at the general well-being of Latinos in Southeast Michigan. The report addresses a number of factors, including education, employment, health, and immigration policy. The study was led by the Julian Zamora Research Institute at MSU. I spoke with its director, Dr. Ruben Martinez, about the findings, particularly the issues surrounding education.
We tend to have a cultural clash going on there in the sense that the schools have not developed, particularly here in the Midwest, where Latinos are coming to communities in the Midwest as new destination sites, whereas historically they tend to go to other places. A lot of these communities don't have a great deal of experience with Latinos, and so they haven't developed the capacity, such as bilingual, bicultural personnel in the schools to be able to do that, to provide the kind of mentorship that would allow them to move forward. Also, I think issues of poverty have an impact. We do know that socioeconomic status is the major factor in terms of economic and educational achievement. So I think there are some of those issues, plus the fact that many of them are immigrants, and you know that exacerbates the cultural gap that exists there. So I think, so just speaking about education, that's one of them.
The report found that between 2011 and 2013, Latinos here in Michigan had a higher rate of participation in the labor force than all other ethnic groups, 67.4%. But during that same period of time, the Latino unemployment rate was higher than that of whites and exceeded the statewide average. What is going on there exactly? That would almost seem to be contradictory.
Right. And I think that is a function of the age variable. Latinos generally are a younger population than the other populations. They're younger than African-American population. They're much younger than the white population. So as the white population ages, it ages out of the labor force. So what you have is more Latinos participating in the labor force because they're still within the ages of what we would call the working age. On the other hand, not all of them are finding employment, right? So I think the age factor really explains that seemingly contradictory finding, but that's what's going on. But it means that they're out there wanting to work and very interested in working.
Another part of your report talks about a concept called collective efficacy, and this ties into the values of the Latino community. What does that mean?
Well, Latinos and I think many other groups in society today have a great emphasis on the family and the larger group, and the well-being of the larger group. I think that is a value that contrasts with the American culture, which tends to emphasize individualism. And actually, you know, there are studies finding that, just to give you an example, that in higher education, if the pedagogical approach is group-oriented, Latinos tend to perform better than if you give students individual assignments. So I think, again, there's sort of this culture clash that goes on. So at the larger level of the society, I mean, that means also that they would be very interested in social programs that help people get ahead, as opposed to the individualistic perspective, which basically says everybody on their own, get ahead on your own.
You've alluded to a culture clash a couple of times.
Yeah.
How do we get past that? How do we lessen the impact of a culture clash?
I think that what we have to do is our institutions need to have leadership that focuses on incorporation. Incorporation that is bringing in people who are different from the standard values and practices of the institution. It means that the institution has to change itself from going far beyond what we would say is the dominant practice, and that is build it and they will come. Well, you can build it, but they won't come. Right, because culture and the separation that exists keeps them away. So one has to develop the capacity to work with them effectively on a personal level to bring them in, and also working with them to develop the skills and the cultural practices of the institutions to be able to close that gap. I think most common is the banking industry. You know, the banking industry wants to do more work with Latinos, but they don't reach out effectively to them. On the other hand, Latinos tend to see the paperwork for loans and so forth as too bureaucratic and not an aspect of their culture that they're very familiar with. So both sides have to be proactive in trying to close that gap.
Are Latinos facing a lot of the same economic and educational hardships as African Americans?
Latinos have historically been one of the disadvantaged groups in society, with African Americans, Native Americans, and so on. But in general, to some extent, I think to summarize what we found in the study was a comment by one of the participants in the focus groups who said, "Nos pararon el progreso," which is translates literally into "they halted our progress." I think to some extent, the anti-immigration movement has halted the progress of immigrant Latinos. Historically, the dynamics of racial discrimination has halted the progress of Latinos, but I think also these other limited government and emphasis on individualism has halted the progress of the nation as a whole, in the sense that we have greater inequality, greater poverty. One of the findings that I had seen before, but I hadn't really confronted it as starkly as I did this time around, is that in Detroit, more than 50% of the kids live in poverty. And it raises the issue for us of, you know, what kind of society do we want to have? What do we mean by societal progress? What do we mean by human progress when half of our children in a large city like that are living in poverty?
Our guest today is Ruben Martinez, the director of the Julian Zamora Research Institute here at Michigan State University. The institute's releasing a new report on the general well-being of Latinos in Southeast Michigan. The 2016 campaign season is well underway. What are you hearing from Democrats and Republicans about how to improve the well-being of Latinos in America?
Well, I think we're seeing a very polarized dialogue going on about Latino immigrants. I mean, people want to shut down the border, build more walls. I mean, we already have a wall, so I don't know where we're going to put the second one. But I think there's this fear that somehow this population is not doing well by our society. In fact, Latinos in Michigan contribute more than $25 billion to economic output. In the region, they contribute about $15 billion to the economic output of Southeast Michigan. So they're contributing. There's this stereotype that, you know, they are on the public dole. In fact, they contribute more to the public coffers than they take out of it. They do take proportionally a little bit more, but because of the poverty status that they occupy, I think if we educate them, they can be more productive, they can be more engaged citizens, and I think it would benefit all of us to have a more highly educated population. Today, we're hearing from some politicians, particularly the conservative ones, they're actually beginning to talk about the problem of poverty in the society, about the rising inequality. So they're broaching the notion. I think on the other side, those people who are concerned about this are opening up the dialogue. I mean, Hillary Clinton is talking about finding ways to get people educated. So there's that dialogue. The conversation is starting to open up, but it still isn't at a level or it has not evolved to a point where we actually are seeing more concrete examples of what they would put into place if they were actually elected.
What did you take from your report that you would like most to act on, that you and your other peer organizations might put into action?
I think we need to address the issue of education. Education halts a family's progress. It halts the progress of a community, and it halts, if we don't have good education, it halts the progress of the nation as a whole. So I think if we were to focus on any one particular area, I think that would be it. We really need to address the problem of education. I think it also may be time to return the leadership of education to educators and take it out of the political arena, because the political arena is not seeking to improve education. It's seeking to transform education in ways that has not been shown to be both progressive or beneficial for students.
Could non-Latino groups also benefit from the kinds of recommendations you just made?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, a rising tide lifts all the boats. I think if we can focus on the issues focusing on Latinos, on the issues focusing on African Americans, on the issues focusing on white working class families, they're basically all the same. The difference is that for Latinos, you have to address the issue of language and culture. But in terms of all the other arenas, they're all the same. We really have to find a way to raise the quality of life for all of these different segments of our population.
We want to thank our guest today, Dr. Ruben Martinez, the director of the Julian Zamora Research Institute at Michigan State University. The institute's releasing a new report which studied the well-being of various Latino communities in Southeast Michigan on a number of issues. Dr. Martinez, thanks.
Thank you very much, Mark.